I was very thankful. This very nice drive in the countryside. I didn't any post road, and I had to avoid a deer. There's one thing constant in Iowa, and this year it's deer and their stupidity. At any rate, Lord helped me see him early. Of course, I love scanning the countryside and all of that. So that's kind of what makes it so enjoyable for me. Both my wife and I are country kids from Northeast Iowa. My wife is not with me today. Her father, who just do the solo bit better than I do. Take your Bibles and join me in Revelation. You may think that's kind of interesting for a guy doing Pulpit Supply to go to Revelation. Well, here's why. I've been doing a lot of Pulpit Supply this year in general. It's been a busier than usual. And we've been doing Pulpit Supply up in Britt quite a bit. Their pastor, Pastor Greg Baum, resigned due to health reasons. And myself, along with former Pastor Ken, we have been kind of tag-teaming, helping keeping. And I've been taking him on a book study through Revelation. And this is actually where we'll be the next time I'm up there. So rather than break me out of my train of thought, and I entreated the Lord all week to prompt my spirit as to what I should have for you folks. And I kept coming back to this because as I have thought about you folks, and this is, of course, not my first rodeo here, is it? As I've thought about you, this keeps coming. The church at Philadelphia is called what? Look in your notes. You actually have what I'm preaching? It's a faithful church. That's what my... And I think of your pastor who's... You're so blessed. I go to Brett and there's 10 people there and the church is... And the town is probably three... You don't know how good you have it. Really. My wife and I have been in over 70 churches now in our association. Are small like this. But they're like the church in Sardis, the one right before this in chapter 3. They have a name, but they're dead. You guys aren't dead. You're very much alive. So don't let your size, if you compare yourselves to others, you're always going to be less. There's always going to be somebody better, right? I learned this going to the gym. Okay, before I had a knee replaced and I had a shoulder done or whatnot, I even might have it in my notes. I'm not sure if it's here or if it's in the evening message, which is going to segue out of this one. One thing I learned at the gym is you go to work out for you, not to compare yourself with someone else, because if you do, you are really in for depression. You will never be as your Christian life is very much the same from one else. You're misguided because you're to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, right? Not to be like the someone else we all are to aspire to be like is Jesus Christ, right? That's the goal. So, the faithful church. And just some prerequisites as we study Revelation, there are some key. Verse 19 we know of is the key, right? Where our Lord, turn there real quick, where our Lord tells John, write the things which you have. And that's a description of the Lord Jesus Christ as he discloses himself to John. The things which are, and that's the letters to the churches, and then the things which must take place after this, that's chapter 4 and following. Very key. The other thing is always note that the scene in Revelation is either going to be on the earth or it's going to be in heaven. Do not get those or you'll get lost. Take the book of Revelation literally. Otherwise, you're immediately spiritualizing everything you're coming. Treat it like any other book in the Bible. Take things literally unless the language and the context and whatnot clearly tells us. So as long as you keep things straight, we're in good shape. Also, we take these truly, the seven churches of Asia Minor. They were little churches in the day. But as we have studied and others have studied, we see these seven churches also as representatives of this church happens to identify with AD 17 to the rapture, of course, when Christ will take up his church. We're all waiting for that earnestly. So we're in chapter, and it's interesting. We just finished the letter, the writing to the church at Sardis, which had no commendation, which was actually scathing from our Lord. He flips to Philadelphia. Also, angel. Angel is a word which is called a transliteration. It's angelos, A-N-G-E-L-L-O-S. So rather than translate it, the translation is messenger. The Bible writers transliterated. They've done the same thing the word baptize. The translation of baptizo is to immerse or place under. You guys know that. You're an immersion Baptist church. That should be nailed down rock solid in your mind. This is a translation. It literally means moved. When you read this and it says, and to the angel, to the messenger of the church in Philadelphia, and you read, you see, I know your works. He's not talking about the works of an angel, is he? an angelic being. It's the works going on in the church. So to me, the messenger here is very clearly the shepherd who leads the church and other church things that flow out of it. But as we see to Philadelphia, to the messenger of the church in Philadelphia, write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. I know your work. See, I have set before you an open door and no one can shut it. For you have a little strength, have kept my word and have not denied. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie, make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of the new Jerusalem, which comes down and from my God. Let's pray briefly. Father, thank you for your... I pray that you guide us in it and study it. And it's not enough just to read. And Father, So as we go through this, you actually have my notes. As is my custom, I will ask rhetorical questions. That means I don't really want an answer. And I will ask non-rhetorical questions, which means I do want an answer, and I will make it perfectly clear which one I want. When I ask for an answer, I don't want you to regurgitate the notes you have in front of you. We're going beyond the notes. You draw upon from an example from my life. Due to my work, I needed to get education from the American Welding Society. Because I do so much teaching, I got a WE, a certified weld educator. It's this close to a weld inspector. What I don't have is the 2 days of the D11 code, which I don't even... When you take that test, and there are two, there are questions on the test that are not covered in the material. The American Welding Society expects you to have learned some things on the job and by virtue of being in the trade. And those questions come from that. So yeah, I will ask questions that are not in the page. Draw upon your experience. Please don't be shy. If you're wrong, I'll tell you. Let God be true and every man a liar. Notice Christ's characterization. We see that in verse 7. These things says, he who is holy. What's holy mean? Non-rhetorical. Set apart. Thank you. Thank you. Holy, sanctification. They're kind of cousins. To be set apart. Holy, he's set apart. That is the attribute of God, isn't it? Holiness is his primary attribute with which all we others are kind of filtered through. We're to be angry and not sin. We see God has anger, but God's anger is a holy anger. Your anger and my anger are the furthest thing from holy, aren't they? Yeah, they're not. God is love, and our world has this so messed up. Because God's love is holy. Man's love is sentimental, which is why the lost cannot get over, cannot see why a holy, loving God would allow evil into the world. In their minds, they say, oh, how can a loving, holy God send anybody to hell? God doesn't send anybody to hell. We already are on the path. We're headed there. The Bible calls us children of wrath. So, boy, getting our minds around the holiness of God is huge. He who is holy, 2 Corinthians 5:21, good text. He who is true, oh my goodness. The only truth there is God's truth. It's his truth. 14 John, I am the way, the truth, the life. The word the there, you notice it's a definite article indicating he is the way. There's no other way, right? He is the truth. There is no, if it's true, it flows from God. Because if there's two systems, right? God's system and who's the other one? Satan, right. And the Bible says there's no truth in Satan. All he is a lie. That really helps flesh that out, doesn't it? And Jesus said, I am the life. There is no life apart from Jesus. All the lost around us are looking to fulfill this. Why do you think the transgender movement is so strong? Because it's the same lie that a serpent spoke so many years ago. Has God indeed said? Look, I can recreate myself. I identify as this. I can be this. See, all of a sudden it turns to I, a personal intent, okay? Instead of human beings find their ultimate fulfillment when they're in a right relationship with God. and they function as God has designed them. You know this, blood-bought saint of the living God. He who is true. Notice possessiveness. He has, and the cross-reference there in this, actually, you can see it. It's in italics in most of our Bibles, which means he has the key of David. He who opens, and no one shuts. And he shuts, and no one opens. That kind of tells me he's in control, doesn't it? As A.W. Tozer has said, there's a God in heaven who's not surrendered his authority. I am. God is in control. Ephesians 1:11 says he's working all things out. Note that the emphasis, again, is on the he rather than on the key. Notice our Lord's commendation, our second point. I know your works. And if we're earlier in the study, that means I know what you are attempting to do. That's what's wrapped up in thy know. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it. The open door has been set before them. My dear friends, the acquaintances and friends of ours that we are seeking their salvation, is the door open for them? Non-rhetorical question. Is the door open for them? Yes, it is. When is the door closed for them? When they die. Earlier this week, I went to a surviving relative. All of them are gone now. And she's Lutheran. And I had to endure the heresy of my wife and I, the person I've really ever known. I have no of her that I would say, they're all as filthy. Her door is closed. I do not know. And as long as our friends and acquaintances are alive, the door, death's door, that door, an opportunity. And the reason no one can shut it is because God is the one who ordains life. When God decides my days are done, that's it. And I'll be with him, and that's better to depart. My father-in-law, and I know why God put my father-in-law in our home for is I have been able, that guy does not have a stop button. He's always got to be doing. Lord has dropped him right breath. God has, have you thought about this? He's a superb scroll saw worker, but that skill is beginning. But guess what we have him doing? We took over 100 Christmas ornaments to the Iowa Veterans Home in Marshalltown Friday. Prior to that, he did this amount for our children's ministry, our kids to decorate for. This is a 94-year-old guy still ministering. Yes, and that's what I tell him. And to those of you that are maybe sliding into that category, I want you to know God's not done with you as long as you're drawing breath. There is an avenue to leave the results to him. A tremendous encouragement. It's been so wonderful to be able to take God's word. And that's the beauty of this. Yeah, it brings a stick, don't it? Our brother did that this morning at school. Yowza, that was good. Wish I'd have got here earlier. I know your works. Notice the total dependency for that little preposition. For you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied name. A little strength. Check out 2 Corinthians 12:7. If my memory, that's Paul's discussion of his thorn in the flesh, isn't it? He calls it a messenger of Satan. I'm pretty sure that's your word angelos there. Angel, that's a messenger Satan sent to buffet. The word buffet there literally means fist fight. To buffet him. To beat on him. 3 times, Paul pleads with the Lord to take it away from him. And what's our Lord's response? My grace is... Now, if it's me, maybe you, I'm going, but, wait a minute. You clearly must not understand the issue. Don't we do that with God? As if God doesn't know. It's kind of like when he walked in the garden with Adam. He says, where are you? Do you think God didn't know where he was? Seriously? Yeah, it was a test for Adam. Yeah, God, believe me, God knows what's going on. You have a little strength. And then he says, okay, therefore I'll glory in my, that what? The power of Christ will rest upon me. For when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Friends, I do not have that worked out in my life perfectly. I'm a guy. When I'm weak, I see myself as useless. Don't we, guys? When we're weak, we see our... And that's right where God wants us to start doing what he wants to do. Our weakness is the jumping off point, the launching pad. He have a little strength, our Lord tells them, this church in Philadelphia. You have a little strength. You've kept my word. You've not denied my name. Ouch. I think of all the time. I will make portions. They're not true Jews. They say they are, but they're not. 2 ways of looking at it, as you can see, national Israel or spiritual Jew, but it's a lie. And he says, I will come make them worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept my commandments, I also will keep you from the hour of trial to test those who dwell on the earth. Tremendous hope here. Notice obedience to the to persevere. Literally, the word of my patience. What is perseverance? I know I have written it to you. What's perseverance? I'm sorry? Endurance. The Christian life is not a sprint to abide under. We have a lot of mothers. Wow. Is childhood perseverance? I have no idea. I was in the waiting. It is, isn't it? It's unbelievable perseverance. How do we persevere? Examples, please. How do you persevere? That's for our light affliction. It has an eternal weight of glory, but it's... Yeah, that's really how we... When you have an eternal perspective, it really changes how you handle... Under 2, under protection, verse 10. Ah, glorious here, kept from the hour of trial. Some important observations. Note, who is doing the keeping? What do you see there, class? Who's doing the keeping? Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of trial. I will. This comes from our Lord. Isn't that wonderful? The one who died, rose again, lives forevermore. Says, I will keep you from the hour of trial. Reminds me of John 10, 28, 29. One of my favorite passages of Scripture. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life. Notice all the I's. I give them eternal life. Our Lord says that, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who is greater than all, has given them to me, and no one's able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. And if you are a blood-bought saint of the living, you are very secure in not only our hand, but our Father's hand. And if our Lord says he's going to keep you in the hour of trial, he's going to keep you in the hour of trial. You can take it to the bank. A little note there on the language. Note that saints are kept from, which is actually too literally the phrase transliterated. I also will keep you out of trial. Out of is much the hour of trial. Phrase serves as the metaphor for the seven-year tribute. And notice it is for the whole earth. It's unparalleled in scope. Wonderful.
I use that in Handel's Messiah. I play in the Handel's Messiah. I used to play for the Des Moines Community Orchestra, and that's... But right now, I'm doing some professional work for a choral group in Marshalltown, and that's coming up December.
But in earlier years, I played that same thing with the Des Moines Community Orchestra, and we had something going on in the morning, so I did something orchestrally with them, and then I sat and I listened. I do that periodically because I listen to what others are doing. And know what the sermon title he had? Left Behind and Loving It.
Let me say that again. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly... White eyes, you're kidding me. Yeah, Left Behind and Loving It. And it was on the rapture. It was just heresy. And of course, the message all flowed out of somebody's book. Didn't flow out of this one, because they don't know that. Even if they know it, they don't believe it. Oh my goodness, yes.
Wow. It's unparalleled in scope. This poor preacher had no idea what he was talking about. Because when you actually look in Revelation and look at those judgments, my goodness, it is unparalleled in scope. And it's for those who dwell. Moving along here, Christ's condemnation, there is none. And within that's embedded, when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ and I give account for the deeds done in my body, whether good, how much, what is going, what will my... Number 4, Christ's counsel, verse 11, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. The word crown, that's why we're segueing. That's going to segue into what we're discussing this evening.
The notes for that. Go ahead and read those. It's the equivalent of chief.
Behold is an attention arrester. Ever find your kids just kind of messing around? You want to get their attention. You go, hey! When you're out deer hunting and you want the deer's walking by, then you got to do your job. It's an attention arrester. He says he's coming quickly. How do you navigate?
When we know that God, in order for him to have been the creator, he has to be out of time. It's what we call transcendent.
He's coming quickly. You know, we're well past 2,000 years. When you compare that to eternity, 2,000 years is nothing. Eternal perspective, kind of. For the believer, you see this in, I think, Thessalonians very well. We need Christ to come quickly. And that needs to be the characterization within the local church. We live in light of the imminent return of our Lord. That should never leave us as we live. Hold fast what you have. I like how Robertson does this. It's a present imperative here. keep on holding. It's a command, Christian. Keep on holding what you have. Oh, yes. What else are you holding? In number two there, that no one may take your crown. Better said, that no one may take your crown to disqualification.
We see that every year in the Olympics, don't we? After it's all said and done and all the tests are done, someone has disqualified themselves by either didn't pass the baton within the chosen space in the track, right? Drops the baton. Early start. Any restarts in the sprints? If you're out of the blocks early, you're disqualified. They do blood tests. You have any kind of performance-enhancing drug, PED, disqualified. You see it every year. Someone has won a medal and disqualified from it, and they have to give it up. That's exactly the point.
No one can take from disqualification, even our modern sports culture.
You know, the reason we like sports like football and basketball,
because when someone holds in football, the flag is thrown, the penalty's assessed, and justice is done quickly. We don't live in a country of quick justice, do we? For crime. But it's done quickly in sports. And boy, when the foul isn't called, what happens? The crowd goes crazy because they don't see quick justice satisfied. Yeah, keep holding on. And we're going to look at one of these crowns tonight. This is a
crown study. This is at least a month of Sundays or midweeks that this turns into. I'm cutting into it like I am here.
I would have loved to have done a speed trip through the whole study, but boy, it's good. It's good. Notice Christ's challenge, verse 12 and 13. He who overcomes. Who's an overcomer?
I believe talks about overcomer. Be in our earlier studies, an overcomer is someone who's born again of the Spirit of God. They've already overcome because Christ has conquered death and hell for us. Again, it's all about God and not about us.
And I'm not going to get into the weeds on some of this. It'd be a pillar in the temple and go out no more. Those are things, what does the scripture say? I have not.
It's beyond what God is doing.
So I leave that to him. Hearing the Spirit, do you, we, me? I think we live in Satan's cosmos like there's clutter. What's cluttered in this last week?
Ouch, that really drew.
You know, because I'm busy, but it's not much. And get so used to it, our lives become, says, you'll be blessed. Thank you again, and servants of you. I trust they've been encouraged, as we would have seen in another church. They're rich. They may not think they're rich, but they are rich because of you, because you own the cattle. And because of what he has done, we are brought merit of our own. But Lord, we praise you today as we leave this place and enjoy some time where we seek to, and in all this, we just name.